scream a little inside every time you have to think about money? Well, we're here to change that. Welcome to South Sound Money Talks. We're here to tackle confusing topics, answer your questions, and fix all those what the financial moments. This podcast is made possible by Tabco Credit Union, Pierce County's original member-owned credit union. I'm your host, Amanda. Hello, South Sound. So buying a house is pretty terrifying, I have to admit. There's a lot to consider when it comes to shopping for a mortgage and handing over that gigantic down payment check. Ugh. Today, we're talking with Josh Johnson from Tabco about some of the most important things you should know before you decide to buy a home. Welcome, Josh. Thanks for joining us.
Of course, Amanda. Yeah, I'm so happy to be here, and hopefully I'll be able to answer any questions that you may have and hopefully be able to shed some light on the somewhat intimidating process of buying a home.
Yes, because it is. It can be really scary. Mm-hmm. But I also have to just say I've been really looking forward to talking to you because I've always found it scary. But also my husband and I are starting the process of looking and buying for our first home. And so I'm really looking forward to hearing what you have to say. Am I just overreacting when I say that it's scary?
You know, you're not, Amanda. So, well, you are. Now, let me first.
Good.
Let me take a step back. So the reason why I say you're not is because what I really mean to say is you're not alone in the fact that there's many, many people out there that are intimidated by the thought of purchasing a home. I mean, you know, when it comes to submitting a loan application, to finding the right real estate agent to work with, to trying to figure out, you know, what home you're looking for, identifying your wants versus your needs in a home. I mean, it truly is. It's a big moment in any person's life. And just because of the fact that it is such a big moment in a person's life, it's easy to attribute a lot of emotion to that. And sometimes that emotion can come out to fear just from the uncertainty that's there. However, you know, the great part about working with a qualified professional such as a loan officer like myself is that's really my job, is to try to make it as stress-free as an experience as I can for you and clearly explain any questions you might have. And I think that's what a lot of the borrowers that I work with end up finding, is that they'll come through the door nervous, not really know what to say, not sure what really to expect. But once they actually sit down with me and they're able to ask me questions and they realize that I'm a regular person just like them, that's just here to serve them and to help them, then the whole thing becomes a lot less scary.
Yeah, that's great. I loved what you said about it becoming emotional, because that's something I didn't expect.
Yeah.
And I remember finding this house that I just loved. It's super cute. And like, I would drive by it every day on my way home from work and I would see it and it had a for sale sign. I was like, I want that house. And then mm-hmm. I saw a sale pending. I was like, oh, no, that means I can't have that mm-hmm. house. And mm-hmm. I was like, why am I getting so worked up about this? Because clearly we weren't even ready to begin that.
Yeah.
But I just emotionally got attached to it
yeah.
immediately.
And that's funny that you say that, because that happens all the time when people are out looking for homes, is they'll see one. Maybe this is before they even are pre-approved, and maybe we'll jump into that later and explain what that is. But people will be looking for houses and they'll see one that they just fall in love with. And then if their offer doesn't get accepted, or if it goes off the market, like the story that you just shared, then they think, oh, I'm never going to find a house that's as good as that one. Well,
yeah.
There's always another one that comes around that will fit what you're looking for. But yeah, it's so easy to get attached to a home that you find where you think it is the only home for you.
Yeah. And that's what I have to keep reminding myself, is like, it's like this or something better, right? There will be
yeah.
something else that is right for me and my family.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the big questions you probably get a lot is, how do I know what I can afford?
Yeah, I get that question all the time. In fact, that's usually the number one question that I get asked, is how do I know what I can afford? So there's a ratio that a lender like myself looks at that can help determine what exactly you can afford. If we just jump into, you know, what's dollar and cents? What is my budget? What could I get approved for a monthly payment? And how do I figure out what a monthly payment would be on a house that costs this much with this much down? So how you can figure out what you can truly afford for a mortgage payment comes down to what's called your debt-to-income ratio.
Mm-hmm.
It's a percentage, and how it's calculated is by taking the total monthly debts that you have, liabilities that report to your credit, such as auto loans, minimum payments on credit cards, those types of loans, divide that by your total gross monthly income, and that'll give you a percentage. So typically, if you're at a 50% debt-to-income ratio or lower, then you can be approved for a mortgage. So if you were to take, you know, again, all those debts, divide by your income, see what that 50% mark is, then that's where you can know what that sweet spot is for an approval on a mortgage. There's a lot of resources out there to be able to help you calculate what a mortgage payment could be on a certain purchase price with a certain amount down. You can find calculators online. You can reach out to me and I can pull a quote for you. And on top of that, you always want to remember that the amount of cash, the amount of funds that go into purchasing a home, doesn't just come down to saving for a down payment either. There's actually two other components that go into the overall, what we call cash to close on a mortgage. Yes, your down payment is one of the largest ones. However, there's a second component called closing costs. These cover items like an appraisal, title insurance, a processing and underwriting fee, and the third component is called prepaids for your escrow account. So have you heard of an escrow account before?
I've heard of it.
Okay.
I don't know what you would use it for.
Okay. So your escrow account is an account that is separate from your principal and interest portion of your mortgage payment that is dedicated specifically to paying your homeowner's insurance and your property taxes for you. So that escrow account, you can almost think of it as like a reserve account that is contributed to each month with your monthly mortgage payment. There's a portion of your monthly mortgage payment that, besides going to principal and interest, goes towards property taxes and towards homeowners insurance. It gets placed in that escrow account, and then those two items are paid for you, so you don't even have to think about it. So it's convenient. It makes it easier for you because it's less to manage financially as far as sending out bills. But at the time of closing on your mortgage, then there's typically 3 months worth of what we call prepaids that are due at the time of closing to kickstart that escrow account. So there's a few different components that go into it, and that's not something that everyone knows about. So, you know, again, we typically, you know, recommend, you know, sitting down or giving myself, someone like me, a phone call to be able to determine what that number is for you, depending on the market that you're looking in, how much you have saved for a down payment. We can help you predict what the total amount of cash you need is. And then also just remembering as well that after you purchase that home, there's going to be some additional cost as well, such as buying new furniture. Maybe you want to, you know, add a new black backsplash in the kitchen, or, you know, there's other renovations that you may want to do with the place too that are important to keep in mind when you're saving.
Mm-hmm. Great. So basically, I'm not alone, and mm-hmm. there's a lot of people who can help me and a lot of resources we could use, even the online calculators. Mm-hmm. We could reach out to someone like you that would help us figure out exactly how much we need.
Exactly. And then again, that's why I'm here. That's why other people in the real estate industry are here, is to assist you in figuring out exactly how much you need to save for.
Great. Yeah. That's really helpful. Mm-hmm. So do you really need to save 20% for your down payment? Because that's always what I've heard is the amount you need to have.
Yeah. So actually, that 20% down payment, the fact that you need to have that, that's actually a myth. So
really?
Yes. So that's great news.
That is
really
great
news. So if you're a first-time buyer, you can actually qualify for a mortgage in some cases with as little as 3% down.
Wow.
So much less than 20%.
Yeah.
If you're not a first-time buyer, then you can qualify with a down payment as low as 3.5% or 5%, depending on the kind of mortgage that you're moving forward with, which again, I can help guide you into what is going to be a good fit for you. But that 20% down as a requirement, definitely a myth. The reason why you may have heard that before, however, is due to something called private mortgage insurance, or PMI. Have you heard of that before?
I've heard PMI, yeah.
Okay. So PMI, or private mortgage insurance as it stands for, is an additional cost that's added to your monthly payment when you are financing more than 80% of what that home is worth. So in other words, if you're not putting 20% down, then PMI is an extra cost that's added to your monthly payment. It's insurance for the mortgage, but it's not insurance that protects you as the buyer. So that's something that's important to note. It doesn't protect you. What it does is it actually protects the mortgage lender in the event that a borrower is unable to make their monthly payments. Mm-hmm. So, you know, for those that can afford a 20% down payment, that's great because then your monthly payment won't have that extra cost attached to it. However, you know, like I said, you can purchase a home with much less down. And the good news is that private mortgage insurance does go away over time, either by refinancing in some cases or just making your monthly payments until that level gets down to between 78 to 80% is where it'll just fall off automatically, or you can request for it to be removed.
3% is a huge difference to the 20%.
Yes, yeah.
That actually makes me feel like it's more attainable, correct? You know,
yes.
To be able to purchase a home.
Exactly. That, and that's why people get so excited when they hear that, is they think 3%, all right, I can do that.
Yeah.
And you know, and that's where, you know, as we just touched on as well, where there's other closing costs and the prepaids for the escrow account do come into play as well. But still, overall, you know, that 3% versus 20% contrast is pretty big. And
yeah,
it means
it's
a lot of less cash that has to come out of your own pocket.
Which is always helpful.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So say I'm not ready to do this. What can I start doing now to save so I will be able to purchase a home in the future?
Yes. So, you know, the best way to start saving is to establish a budget. You know, take a look at your monthly income with the expenses you have and other costs, such as, you know, what do you spend on average for groceries? You know, what identify other, you know, expenses in your month-to-month budget that maybe you've let go a little bit out of control, or maybe you could pull back on a little bit. Find a nice balance to where, you know, at the end of each month, you are allotting money to savings. In fact, what I really recommend doing is the day that you have income come into your account, pay yourself first is what we call it. Pay yourself first, put money straight into your savings account before you have the chance to be able to go spend it on something that you don't need to really spend it on, right?
That makes so much sense.
Another way to save easily is to set up what's called a payroll allocation, which is an automatic transfer that happens when you get paid. So if you don't quite trust yourself to go in and make that transfer yourself, if you're like, oh, I don't want to click submit on this transfer screen, then just talk to your financial institution and set up an allocation to where when that paycheck comes in, a fixed amount goes into your savings account on its own.
Yeah, that's helpful.
Yeah.
So setting up a budget, making sure you know exactly what you're spending and having an amount to set aside.
Exactly. And you know, for those that the idea of establishing a budget is intimidating and maybe you don't really know how to do it, then Tapco Credit Union actually has certified financial counselors that can actually sit down with you one-on-one, walk through a budget worksheet with you, and actually help you establish one if you needed that.
Yeah, that's a great resource. Mm. I'll keep that in mind. Mm-hmm. So rumor has it that a fixed rate is better than an adjustable rate. Is that true?
Yeah, so that, you know, that question, we really deal with that case by case. So it depends on your individual scenario. Most buyers go with a fixed rate because they like knowing that the interest rate that they're getting locked in at when they purchase their home will not change for as long as they have that mortgage. Mm-hmm. So that's great assurance right there.
Yeah, because I'm that kind of person who always needs to know what's coming through.
Yeah, and it is a little bit of a risk if you go off the adjustable side, because typically with an adjustable rate mortgage, or, you know, shortened, they call that an ARM, it's going to have a fixed period to it. Typically, it's either a 5-year, 7-year, or 10-year fixed rate period. Mm-hmm. And then after that, typically, the rate will adjust a minimum. The average is usually once per year after that fixed period. So it'll fluctuate a little bit closer to whatever the market rate is at that time. So if rates happen to go down between that fixed period to when it makes that adjustment and thereafter, then your rate theoretically would go down a little bit. But if during that period of time the rates went up, then guess what? they go up a little bit. Mm-hmm. So again, case by case, and that's something that we could talk about. Sometimes an adjustable rate can be good for somebody that only plans to be in a home for that fixed period. If they only plan on being in a home for a few years and you know your rate's going to be fixed, sometimes an adjustable rate can actually have a slightly lower percentage rate-wise than a fixed rate. But again, really something that we would just want to look at you and look at your personal scenario and find out what a good fit is for you.
Is there a correlation between like the 3% down payment and or a 20% down payment and if you can get an adjustable rate or a fixed rate? Like, I'm not quite sure how that all works.
Yeah, so it all wraps in together. So it doesn't make a difference between the two. You know, the 3% down option, you know, like we touched on, that's good for somebody that maybe doesn't have enough cash on hand to be able to cover that down payment, closing costs, prepaids, all that together. The advantage of putting more down is always in your best interest, in the sense that from the moment you buy the home, you instantly have more equity in it. Mm-hmm. You know, for example, if you put 5% down on a home, then when that transaction closes, you get the keys to your home, you have a 5% stake in that home. You own 5% of it. Whereas if you put down 15, then you right off the bat own 15. So, you know, from an equity standpoint, the more you can put down, it means that you have more ownership in your pocket that can be utilized as a resource down the road. So putting more down is good in that aspect. As far as, you know, getting one mortgage or the other, there are differences between different mortgage products where there's different requirements, but as a standard, 3% or 20%, you very well could be qualified either way with whatever product you go for.
Okay, yeah. Good to know. And another common question I've heard people ask a lot is, should you get pre-approved? Mm-hmm. And what does that mean exactly? Like, what do you need in order to get pre-approved?
Yeah. So being pre-approved is the best route to go when you're out and you actually want to start making offers on homes. So being pre-approved means that you not only submitted an application with a mortgage lender and were qualified based on the information you told that lender, such as this is about how much I make per month, this is about how much I have set aside in my bank accounts. A pre-approval means that you actually submitted documentation to the lender to back up that information. They were able to look at it, get firm numbers in their system to be able to confidently say, yes, we've reviewed Amanda's income documentation. We've verified that she has these balances in her bank account. And based off this and analyzing her credit, she is pre-approved for up to this amount. And when you go out with that letter saying that you are pre-approved, agents that are selling homes will take those offers much more seriously than someone that comes to them without a pre-approval letter. Because if they accept an offer for somebody that doesn't have a pre-approval, then they're taking a big risk there because they don't know if this buyer is truly qualified or approved to be able to afford this home. So they could enter into a contract and then later find out that this person was never qualified or approved for this the entire time, and then that deal could fall through. Right. So actually having a letter that says that you're pre-approved will give you that much more of an edge when you're out making offers. And as far as how you do that, that looks like getting your lender typically 2 years worth of W-2s, 30 days worth of pay stubs. Now, this is if you're employed by a company. If you're self-employed, then that typically looks like 2 years worth of tax returns. Okay. But either way, income documentation, and then as far as verifying accounts and balances and bank accounts, we would look for 2 months worth of bank statements on that.
I imagine that with such a competitive like market, real estate market, being pre-approved helps really get you a leg up so you can get your offer in there and have it taken seriously and you can get through quicker.
Exactly. And that's a great way to describe it. It truly does give you that leg up on the other competition. And especially in the housing market currently, you know, here in Western Washington and Pierce County, King County and the surrounding area, it's so competitive right now. You know, you described that well. It's so competitive that anything that you can do to put yourself in a position to where you can take action quickly is where you want to be, because yeah. now houses will come onto the market. They'll be listed for sometimes just a few days, and they'll already be a pending sale because someone got in there right away with an offer. So being pre-approved, having that letter ready to go, so when you find that dream home, being able to jump in there, make an offer, and get your name in the pot there.
Yeah, because you don't want to lose your dream home, because right. we've touched on how emotional that
is. We touched
is.
On the emotional connection, yes. Yeah.
Okay, that's awesome. I'm learning a lot. That's
great.
Really, really great.
Great.
So let's talk a little bit about working with real estate agents. Mm-hmm. So what if your real estate agent wants you to work with someone they know? Do you still have options in that case?
You 100% do still have options. So real estate agents are going to have connections that they've made in the industry that they've worked with maybe several times. Maybe they've worked with this person for most of their career. So they have a lot of these connections, and it's great when they make recommendations. Now, it is important for you to know as the buyer that it is ultimately your choice who you go with when we're talking about a mortgage lender. So if you sit down with a loan officer that you found on your own, maybe it's myself and maybe it's at Tapco Credit Union, for example, and you love the idea of supporting a local financial institution, and you enjoy, you know, the connection that we've made with each other. You felt like, okay, I found this loan officer. He seems to really care about me. Mm-hmm. I feel like we've established some trust here. Ultimately, you should be going with somebody that you trust, because, you know, when we go back to, you know, what we started our whole conversation with, which was, you know, jumping into this big process of buying a home, that's one of the biggest moments of your life. You should only be working with people that you feel like you can actually trust. So,
and I would imagine having a relationship with too,
yeah,
right?
So exactly.
Someone that you have like a good rapport with.
Right. And that's, and yes, I'm really glad that you said that, because, you're going to be working with this lender. Again, if we're talking about lenders specifically, which is kind of the focus today, you'll be working with a lender that you'll be in conversation with for probably at least 30 days. It could be several months, just depending on how quickly you find a home and how quickly the process goes from accepted offer to getting those keys on the home. So yeah, it's not like you're just walking the door somewhere and just getting to fill out an application and walk out and have only worked with that person for an hour and then go buy your home. You know, this is,
yeah.
You're working with somebody for weeks. So being able to work with somebody that you feel like you can actually trust and have a rapport with, like you said, is so important.
Yeah, because this is where you're gonna live, you know.
Yeah.
Like you wanna feel good about the whole entire process.
Exactly. You wanna feel like you're working with somebody who has your best interest in mind.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. Mm-hmm. So that's all the time we have today. Mm. Thank you, Josh, for joining us.
Yeah, thank you.
If people have more questions, how can they get a hold of you?
Yeah, so if they have questions, they can just reach out to Tapco Credit Union. They can give us a call. Our number is 253-565-9895. They can reach out to us there. They can ask for Josh or to speak to another qualified loan representative there. They can stop into any one of our branches, and they can also send an email to homeloans@tapcocu.org, and someone specifically in the mortgage department will get that email and can get back in touch with them to answer any questions they have as well.
Great. I am writing down that email, homeloans@tapcocu.com. Is that it?
Okay. Yeah, .org.
.org.
Yes.
.org. Perfect. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been fun.
Yes.
That's our episode for today. Be sure to check out our other episodes and subscribe if you like what you hear. Have a topic idea? Send Tapco a tweet at @TapcoCU. Thanks for joining us, everyone.
Insured by NCUA, Equal Housing Opportunity Lender. Tapco NMLS number 504286.